I want to talk about how healthy we are in the United States of America, why we are less healthy now than we should be, how we used to be much healthier in comparison to other countries, and what we need to do to regain our health ranking. To consider the reasons why, we have to address issues of poverty, and the critical component about poverty that is related to health is what I call relative poverty. How you compare to others and how that affects our health. I will say that more than bringing the bottom up, we've got to bring the top down in order to achieve health in this society. So I'm going to give you a prescription for health. Now, it's really difficult to talk about poverty in the United States because so many of us don't identify with being poor. We're mostly all middle class, right? Being poor is a bad choice of words because it stigmatizes. So instead, I'm going to deal with people who have families and working people and people with low income who may be struggling to make ends meet. Because to admit that you're poor in America might mean that you'll be permanently poor, especially in the land of the American dream, namely that before we die, we'll all achieve wealth, happiness, and prosperity, own our own home, the big car, and all the other symbols of success. It all depends on us. We just have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, work hard, and we can achieve anything we want. Aren't we entitled to that? That's all Bill Gates did. Maybe Magic Johnson, Oprah Winfrey. I don't know if that's true. Some people would say that Bill Gates was born into a very privileged family. The facts show, as others have said, we have much more poverty in the United States today than do all the other rich countries. That's not good. Let me tell you a bit about me. In the 1950s, my father repaired shoes, and we lived above the shoe store in a small apartment. We didn't have a car for a long period of time, and we lived in a working-class neighborhood where everyone else was pretty much in the same shoes as we were. Although we had a TV by 1953, the programming back then was pretty basic, and it didn't display lifestyles of the rich and famous. So we didn't get a sense of how little we had, and we weren't made to want. So I never thought of myself as having less than other people till I went away to college and made friends with people who went off to Europe for the summer, who had vacation homes. Then I began to think of myself as lower class or working class. In fact, I remember having a discussion with a friend of mine in graduate school at Harvard University in which I described myself as working class. And Carl said, no, there's no way you could get to Harvard and be working class. And that was the case back in the 1960s. After graduate school, I spent a year in Nepal, a little country sandwiched between the highest mountains in the world, where Mount Everest sits. There were no roads there, and there's still very few today, so to get anywhere, you had to walk. There were no lodges or hotels, so the travelers would have to stay in people's homes, eat their food, sleep around the fire at night with them, just as the families did with their children and grandparents. These people had next to nothing. Yet they didn't seem to want anything. I know now why they didn't want anything, because there is no advertising of things that they should want. I spent a whole year totally without any form of advertising, and that was a profound experience. These people had the basics, food, water, shelter, and most importantly, the love and company of their family and community. And they shared this with me. They laughed, played, never let their children cry, and they seemed happy. And now I know they were. But if you saw them, you would call them desperately poor. Now, some of you might say I'm romanticizing the situation, describing the noble savage. So I used to think maybe I was wrong, but now I'm convinced that happiness and satisfaction are not something you can buy. So what about poverty and health? I've been working as a doctor for 30 years, much of that time spent in emergency rooms, trying to look after people's health problems that arise acutely. I started doing emergency care in 1977 because I thought that was really helpful for people. And I've continued to practice in emergency rooms in the U.S. for the last 25 years. I occasionally thought about the kind of people I would see in the ER, the kind of people having accidents or heart attacks or bringing their sick kids in. Mostly they seemed to have one thing in common. They weren't rich people. They weren't wealthy. Now, much of my time is spent working in ERs in Burien or White Center or Tacoma or Lakewood or near the Central District here in Seattle. There's a lot of low-income people living there, struggling to make ends meet. But I also worked in Bellevue, near where the richest person in the world lives, as well as the home of other billionaires and multimillionaires. What kind of patients did I see in the ER in Bellevue? Were they rich? Well, occasionally I would see someone that I might surmise was well off, but for the most part, the rich didn't come to that hospital. You might say that when they're in a hospital gown or strapped to a stretcher, it would be hard to tell whether they're rich or not. But even stripped naked, it's easy to tell. Why? Well, the poor people with low incomes interact differently with other people. Often they don't make eye contact with you and look down. Or if they do look at you, their eyes betray a tough life. Sometimes they're angry and rushed, wondering why they have to wait for so long. And for another thing, they tend to be more obese, sometimes much more. They also use words differently when we talk. They might say, "Doc, I've got this serious pain in my stomach," rather than saying, "Doctor, I'm having some discomfort in my abdomen associated with loose movements."